Good afternoon, and may the Lord give you his peace. This is Father Stosh Daly on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with your daily message of hope. Today, let us consider the example of holiness lived out by St. Matthew, the apostle, the evangelist. How many of us have heard his gospel proclaimed in the Holy Mass, or have entered into the words of everlasting life given to us by our brother St. Matthew through private reading or prayer, perhaps making a holy hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament? Matthew's gospel is one of the four and is arguably one of the more popular ones. St. Dominic de Guzman, the founder of the Dominicans, is said to have memorized the whole gospel of St. Matthew from the first word of the gospel to the last word of the gospel. St. Matthew's gospel is particularly popular because it highlights the genealogy of Jesus. It highlights how Jesus is the fulfillment of the yearning of the ages, the yearning of the people. It is said that St. Matthew primarily composed his gospel for the benefit of the Jewish people and the Christians who were of Jewish roots, because it highlights the rootedness of Jesus in the messianic call and in the prophetic foreshadowing found in the Old Testament. While it's long, as compared to like St. Mark's gospel, it is very detailed. But if we enter into the gospel of St. Matthew, we encounter the Lord Jesus. And through that encounter with the Lord Jesus in the gospel of St. Matthew, we realize that Jesus has come to call us by name. There's a reason for that theme of Jesus being proven as the Messiah, while also understanding that the Lord Jesus has come to call us by name, call us by heart. And that's primarily as a result of Matthew's conversion. If you have perhaps been in a period in your life where you felt lost or wounded or hurt or beyond repair, you were so far gone, there was no way to make it back. But then a light shone in the darkness and you were able to be healed. You were able to get up and move again. Joy returned. Light returned. And you look back and you think, where was that moment? What was that moment? Who was the person that kind of helped move me away from that period of struggle and temptation or darkness or pain or suffering into a new way of life? We think of that person with great gratitude. That's Matthew. Matthew considers Jesus as not only the Messiah and the Christ, but also as the one who called him by name. St. Matthew's life is one that runs parallel with the proclamation of the kingdom. He was alive during the time of Jesus. He was called by Jesus by name, and it was his profession or his livelihood, which kind of gives us an opportunity to marvel at how the Lord works and who the Lord calls. Matthew, of course, was a tax collector. And if you go to the Vatican website, they give a beautiful description of his life and his call. It begins with, "At Lake Tiberias sparkled, and as usual, Matthew was there, sitting at the custom desk at Capernaum," a city that arises over and over and over again in the Gospels. Capernaum, the city of the prophet Nahum. Matthew was sitting there at his custom desk in the city of Capernaum to collect taxes that the Jews had to pay to the Romans. Matthew, therefore, was not only a tax collector, but he was properly called a publican, despised by the people because he was considered to be in league with the oppressors, the Romans. Probably, more than likely, Matthew had become accustomed to being disliked, being on the fringes of society, even though he was within the imperial makeup. Matthew had become accustomed to being looked down upon. But that day he heard a different voice, a voice that called him by name, a voice that challenged him to, quote, "follow me." Matthew got up and followed the man ever after, that man who is the man, Jesus the Christ. That man was Jesus. Matthew's life was forever changed. He moved from existence into living because he followed the God-man Jesus. Matthew's life would never be the same. Levi organized a great banquet for Jesus, who went with his disciples, stirring up the scorn of scribes and Pharisees because there were in attendance at that dinner publicans and sinners. Matthew saw people at the dinner that were more like himself and less like those who were considered to be holy or perfect. Jesus' answer when he was challenged about attending the dinner is particularly profound. They that are well have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, it's for them that I came. I came not to call the just, but to call sinners. Matthew, who understood himself in the eye of society and culture to be a sinner, left everything and followed Jesus because he realized that Jesus had come for someone like him, someone like us. Becoming one of the 12, Matthew is an apostle. He is also named a few times in the book Acts of the Apostles. The proclamation of Jesus as Christ would be his mission for his whole life. Think of the good work Matthew set out to accomplish and how it is satisfied every time you and I read the gospel according to Matthew. According to some sources who have provided and contributed towards the history of the church, he would die of a natural death. Others tend to consider him to be a martyr, someone who gave his life for the proclamation of the kingdom in an area of modern Africa that today we would consider the country of Ethiopia. In the description of the four creatures of the four beings of the apocalypse, the eagle, the ox, the lion, and the man, St. Matthew is associated with that of the man. So if you see St. Matthew in iconography, he's usually depicted with a figure that depicts a man. His relics are located in the crypt of the Cathedral of Salerno in Italy, where his feast day is marked with a solemn procession. It is incredible to consider how St. Matthew is more like the average person than like the saint that oftentimes we hold him up to be. But his sanctity is what's so appealing to us because of his history, his life, his biography. He is the author of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. And it's important for us to realize that the words we pray, the words we read, the words we meditate upon are the words of everlasting life, but the Lord used a man like Matthew to give those words to us. Think then how if we give our lives to Jesus right now, if we follow the Lord Jesus right now and for the rest of our days, how the Lord will use us to reach others, whether they be our loved ones, our friends, our co-workers, or those who merely read about our lives down the road, years from now. The gospel according to Matthew are the reflections of a man who was an outcast, very well off, very comfortable, very successful, but nevertheless, he was an outcast from his own kind, his own culture, his own society, his own people, because of his job. But he followed the voice of the one who knew him better than anyone else, Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew is primarily written with an audience of Christians of Jewish origin or to the Jews at large. His text, his words, emphasizes that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ who fulfills the promises of the Old Testament. More than likely, Matthew's gospel was originally composed in Aramaic, then early on translated into Greek. Oftentimes, we think of Matthew as one of the four evangelists. We don't oftentimes remember that he's one of the apostles, but he is. He's both. Matthew is called by Jesus. Matthew is given the holy task of composing a gospel, a good news, the account of the life of Jesus, so that we may know the Lord and we may know the name and the voice and the face of the one who speaks to our hearts, who seeks to enter into our hearts and to dwell within, so as to dine with us, and then we may dine with him in eternity. There is that beautiful painting of the call of Matthew. Personally speaking, it's one of my favorite works of art. It's by Caravaggio. It's in Rome. It's in the church of St. Louis of the French. And as you walk into this grand, beautiful, exquisite church, you have to walk in and go to the far left and up to the front. And there's a little side chapel. And as you're looking at the side chapel, you actually have to look to the left of the side chapel, and you see this beautiful painting done by the artist Caravaggio, and it's the call of Matthew. And of course, in the painting, there's the great play on light and darkness. Matthew, the young man who is depicted there, is depicted wearing the dress of the time of Caravaggio. Whereas the hand of Jesus, the clothing of Jesus and Peter, those are the clothing of those of the age of Jesus. They are dressed more like a Galilean Jew than Matthew, who in the painting is depicted more like in Renaissance. But it's meant to show the timelessness of Jesus, the timelessness of the gospel. And even though it's 2,000 years old, it's relevant right now, regardless of how we may dress or function or work or how we may carry out our day. The gospel is timeless. The words of everlasting life are always applicable to the here and now. We are never beyond the Lord. We are never forgotten by the Lord. Nor are we ever more advanced than those who first saw him. We might be removed by 2,000 years, but the reality of God calling us by name is the same. Regardless of where you may be, who you may be, what you are tasked with doing right now, Jesus calls each of us by name, and he wants us to know his name, to know his heart, so that we may have his presence within us. And in his presence, we will find peace, hope, and joy. May the Lord give you his peace.